Hello, everybody. I'm Junaid Dam. I'm here to present basis on smart grids, electric grids, all those fancy names that finish with grid, but that connect us to this electric power that's keeping this world, that's keeping you watching this presentation, for instance. So, first thing I like to claim is that we will use interesting methods, interesting algorithms, mathematics, to keep this system running, because this system is changing a lot. People used to ask, so why discussing about this? So they are working. We have electricity around, we have lights, we have the computer running. So why caring about all this? Well, the reason is that the system was made for this kind of situation. We had this Paris in the beginning of 20th century. We had here tramways, so electric tramways already. And then electricity was made for this. Some lights, some motors, and that's it. And we're coming from a system made for those utilities, for those usages, to this new reality that is mixing lots of renewables, lots of computers, but not just computers, technology, this digital technology in general, and more and more electric vehicles. So all this is changing completely the paradigm we're live, the grid was made for. And when it doesn't work, you may have big blackouts. But what mean a blackout? So 1 hour without a light, just that? No, it's much more than this. We have with regularly we have blackouts. The biggest we have in history, it was in 2003 in US and Canada. And when you take a look in this part of the map, well, there is no sea there, but it's completely dark. And yeah, that's it. It was really big. It was New York, Boston, up to Detroit. So it's very far. We're talking about 50 million people affected from that. And just like that, in the middle of the summer, so it was not real, because we used to think that, okay, it's during the winter that you have people will use a lot of electricity, and that's when you have trouble. No, not really, not necessarily. In US, it depends a lot how the country was made, how the country use electricity. In North America, for example, it's much more in summer that we have trouble than during winter. And what does it make to have this kind of blackout? Just lights that go off? No, much more than this. Everything stop. Most everything from our modern life works using electricity directly or indirectly. So, first thing that happens that traffic lights go out. And when traffic lights go out, traffic becomes chaotic and you end up stopping this traffic. All lights go off, sure. The elevators go off, but also you don't have any more computers. Okay, if you have a laptop, it will last some hours and then it go off. Your cell phones will stop because all the relays, they have some batteries, but just last quite short time, and then they will be off too. If it's a so massive blackout as though that one in US, you will have all the communications that will go off. Transportation will go off. So not only your cars because of traffic lights, but then subways, trains will stop. But then Even the airports, they need electricity to keep the control of the planes working. So you need to stop the airports on that region. You start having a cascade effect, and then everything stops. Things that we don't think so much on, but water. To have water in a house or an apartment, you must pump water up the building first, and then it will go down. So if you don't have electricity for the electric pump, you don't have water. After some time, usually 1 or 2 days, you don't have sewers neither. So it becomes completely life as we are used to becomes very difficult. So why we have this kind of problems? One of the reasons, size and complexity. So in this moment, I'm in Paris region. Okay, so we're talking about French electric grid. Actually, there's no this concept of French electric grid, because Europe has an integrated grid. So it is European grid. Okay, but what it means European grid? France, Germany, Italy, Spain, how big it could be? Actually, it can be very big. European grid in the beginning was this light blue. So North Africa too, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia. But then Balkans got connected, and more recently we have Turkey that comes in. So we have from almost the Iraq border up to Portugal, from the Sahara Desert to north of Denmark, it's one electric grid. So it's huge. And this makes part of the problem, just because it becomes too complex. Effects of this, one big disturbance, but it was not a blackout. It was exactly in Europe. So we had in 2006, yeah, here it is, November 2006, a very simple accident that happened, something that was planet, something that was already, everything was made to don't have trouble on that. You got the incident, and you have this European system splitting three. We will talk about this in the second video, but we had frequency that was completely split between three regions. So Europe was not one system anymore. So you see that things can go very strong and very fast. The time to have this situation for Europe, it was 12 seconds. It is by far the largest system in the world, and you have 12 seconds to when you have the problem and when the system have blow up. So you must do everything extremely fast, and that's what's very difficult to work. All this in big, a big explanation for all this is the change of the system. So the architecture of the power grid in the beginning was like this, what we call a top-down situation. We have some isolated power plants. We're going to go on this in the next slides, that will produce electricity. They will transmit that in high voltage through what we call the transmission grid, the transmission system. And then we will go down and we will reduce voltage going down to the last customers that are the single house, the single buildings, apartments, and so on. It's kind of you're trickling down water. You're pouring water up, and the water is going down to the customers. And since you have several pipes in parallel, it will be less and less water in each of them. So the image we used to have to understand this is this situation. So gravity will bring this water down. So physics will bring this electricity there, and we will reduce voltage in this process. Well, this is how it was, this top-down network. And now we are changing this grid in a situation where we have put power generation, mostly by renewables, down here in the low voltage, in the distribution grid, where it was not planned to have electricity production. So we're changing the system. It's kind of, we got those pipes that are trickling down water, and we start to bend these pipes up, and the water starts to flowing uphill. So indeed, we start to having this from production to consumption. We're having now from consumption to production. And the system was not meant to work like this. All protection systems, they are not planned in this way. The management of this grid, the stability of this grid was not made in this way. So this is a really big change of paradigm for the grid. And that's what me and all the community of researchers in smart in grids in general, power grids, electric grids, we are trying to use new elements from mathematics, from control algorithms, from information technology, computer science, just to keep this grid running as it has been running for more than 100 years, but with this new situation, this new reality that we have come from those changes of the paradigm. How this grid works? Because I have used some words already about power plants, about transmission system, transmission grid, high voltage, low voltage. So let's go. How does all this works? So we have some kind of prime mover. We have something that's generating a movement. So like you have water coming from a waterfall, it makes turn a wheel, it will make a circular movement. So this is the simplest example. So this thing that's turning and going round, it will be your turbine. Instead of water flowing from a waterfall, it can be steam that's making this wheel, this turbine, turns. This steam can be from something that's producing heat. So nuclear, it can be from coal, it can be from oil, anything that produces heat. We're gonna see in the last video that we have one version of solar that is like this. We also produce steam and produce this movement. So we have this turbine turning, this turbine giving this mechanical power, and this turbine will turn a generator. So this comes from physics. If you have an electromagnetic field that goes turning inside some coils, you will generate a signal, you will generate a current that will produce the electricity we're talking about here. So this generator is producing this electricity because something is making it turn, and we will have a magnetic field there, either because we are giving some small electricity to produce this field, either because we have permanent magnets, so we have a magnet that we put there, we place there, but this is just for small ones. And then we will generate electricity. We're going to see in the following how this electricity looks like. We have then electricity and what we will call power. I have I have used the expression mechanical power already from this prime mover. We will transform this mechanical power in electric power. Electric power means voltage times current. It's a product. If I have 10 times 10, I have 100. But if I have 20 times 5, I also have 100. And if I have 100 times 1, I also have 100. So I don't care how much is V, voltage, how much is I, current. What is important for me is how much is the product. So this is a very important concept. Because then you have one important thing, is that when you build your electricity grid, your electrical grid, the size of your cables will depend on the square of the current. The losses you will have in this grid will also be proportional to the square of this current. It means that if I have a large current, I will have lots of losses and I will need large cables, large lines. So lots of copper, and copper is expensive. So it would be interesting if I could increase voltage and decrease my current. And exactly what we do. And then again, we use a physical principle that is what we call a transformer. A transformer is just lots of metal together. So something that we could build even the 19th century. It's something that is more than 150 years old. And this concept of the transformer means that power in is equal to power out. Again, I don't care how much is V, how much is I. It's the product that means. So the transformer can step up, step down voltage just like that. It's a physical principle, but it works like magic. It's fantastic. So you can just put there your transformer, and you can step up the voltage without doing anything else. So, since the beginning of the electrical grid, so in the middle of the 19th century, we started using transformers to step up voltage. So, you arrive now in the situation that you have a very high voltage, a very low current, comparing to the beginning. And that's what we're using here. So we have our generator with a level of voltage that's not so high and a level of current that is very strong. We go through a transformer. We step up the voltage, but like 100 times. And then we transmit this power with a very high voltage and a much lower current than it would be if we have not done like this. So, doing this, we will transmit this voltage for a long distance, and we will arrive to new places where we're gonna use that. Now we have another concept. If I have high voltage, so myself, human being, if I put my hand on the plug, if I have 100 volt, I will feel it. It will not be nice, but it will not hurt. If I put a 200 volts, most places in Europe are 200 volts, well, it will be even less pleasant. It will hurt just a bit, but will not be something so dangerous. 400 volts, well, there start having trouble. 1,000 volts, 10,000 volts, you die. Just like that. Some tens of thousand volts, you're destroyed. So it's not safe to have high voltage. You cannot have inside houses that high voltage. So you must use low voltage for them, but you need to use the high voltage for the transmission. So you transmit it in high voltage, you arrive to new transformers, and you step down the voltage such that is safe for customers. So you will come from some kilovolts, you will step up to hundreds of kilovolts, and you step down to some hundreds of volts. So this is the main idea of the power grid, such that we will have the generation in the power plant, the step-up transformer, transmission depends on the country and depends on the distance you will use. Like, you need to step up voltage because you reduce your losses. Okay, so why not stepping up to 1 million volts? Okay. Yeah, it would be a very good idea. But then it's more complicated to construct your system for other kind of physical principles. If you have a very high voltage, you need, it's very easy to make a short circuit. The voltage from one point can easily go to another point. Even the air is not, it will not avoid that. So it's, you cannot, you must put very, a lot of distance between the points to avoid this short circuit. So it's much more expensive, much more difficult to work with very high voltage. So we will put voltage as high as necessary and not as high as it would be to reduce the consumption. So in Europe, we mostly use 460 volts. You have several lines that are 700 volts. More than this, usually you have in very, very large countries like Brazil, like China, some places in Canada, and then you will have even higher voltage than what we use in Europe. So, to take a look, we have talked about several elements of the grid. What looks like a power plant, so a full power plant, with several generators inside of it. So those, you will have the turbine turning, and then you will have the generator turning and producing the electricity. This electricity will go through a transformer that will step up the voltage and will transmit it through these transmission lines. One very important point is that we use what we call three phases. Those generators, they will produce three currents at the same time. And there will be a small phase, a small difference, so it's 120 degrees between each phase, so it will be three sinusoids. And that's why everything you're gonna look, it will have three times. So if you look at the transformer, you have three poles here that's transmitting the three phases at the same time. If you go to the transmission line, you have three here. So here you have one transmission line, and then on the other side you have a second transmission line. So everything is times three. So we have talked about the substation, so that's what it looks like, a substation. You will arrive with a voltage, so this is a step down substation. You will have a part of it that's only protection systems. You may have lightning bolts. If you have those lightning bolts, you will create a short circuit, so there's something we must protect, so lightning arresters. And if there is a short circuit in the system, you must be able to cut the system, to open the system. Same way as at your home, you have devices that they open when there's a short circuit. Remember that we're talking about sinusoids. A sinusoid is a sinus, So going up and down, and then crossing zero. Each time it goes down and it goes up. Each time it crosses zero, actually in the current, you will have zero current going through that line. So you open. There's no problem. There's nothing going through during that particular instant. So that's why it's so easy to break a short circuit in this kind of system that we call alternative current. We'll talk about direct current in the last video. We go through our transformer that is stepping down. Actually, it's not that big compared to all the system. And then you have a part that is just making, managing this part of the electricity. So you have several kinds of control devices. And finally, you will have your outgoing distribution lines. When you arrive close to the houses, you will have your transformers that are, again, you see the three times, that are close to the house for the last part. So this is how it works, the classical grid. Then we enter in the renewables. So how to produce electricity through using those renewables. This is how the traditional, the current system works. But now we have a new system, a new production of electricity that comes from renewable energy. What's the difference using this renewable energy? Well, one of them, actually the most important at this moment is wind energy. As I said before, you have a prime mover that will turn it, a turbine that's turning, and this turbine will turn your generator. The wind is exactly the same thing. You have wind that's your prime mover that's turning your turbine, and this turbine turns a generator that's inside there, and you will have your electricity. Okay, so doesn't change much. It changes. It does because you cannot control how much wind you will have and when you have this wind. So this is the first problem. People will answer, okay, but we have good forecast. We have good weather forecast. Why don't you just use that? Yeah, it's true. But then, look like this graph. It's how it works a wind turbine. If you have a wind speed, you have a power, electric power production. What you see is that if you have no wind or very light wind, you have no production. Then you go in a linear part. If you have more wind, more production, more wind, more production. So if you have a 10% forecast error here, you have like a 10% production error. So it's not that big deal. Then you arrive to this flat part. So if you have 10% of forecast error in your wind speed here, you have no error in your production. So that's very good. But then if your wind is too strong, you must shut down your wind turbine. So if you have a 10% forecast error here, you have 100% error in your power production. So this is one example on how much more complicated it becomes when you're using renewables. You have the intermittence, so that's very easy to understand. This unpredictability of this lack of control on how, when and how much you have of power, but even the management of that when you know like as 1 hour, 2 hours before, even then it's very complicated because of other reasons. So, and those systems are becoming much larger. And they are going mostly offshore because you have a stronger, so this is wind speed, you see that you have stronger winds in offshore places. So it's much more interesting to put those wind farms at those places. and they are becoming really big. So the last current, the last power wind turbines that we see, they are as big as, so this airplane that we're seeing is a A380, so the largest commercial airplane. It's like you have one A380 just turning at each of those wind turbines. It is huge. So it's much, it's very, and this is one. You imagine that you have 100 of them in a wind farm. So it's very complicated to use. You also have the solar power. And solar power, you have two kinds of solar power. You have solar thermodynamic, that's not that much well known, where you will use the solar energy, the solar power to heat a salt fluid, and this salt will produce steam with water, and this steam will turn the turbine and produce electricity. The good thing on that is that you can store that heat and use it during the night. So it's very interesting. The other point is that you have a turbine exactly as the other systems. So you know how to use that. You don't need to change much your system. You have either those that you have, the pipes are going through, or you have a tower where you will reflect the all sun there and you will heat in that one place. Then you have your PV plants. Your PV plants, the problem is that they are very big to produce not that much. So 70 megawatts, it's like seven wind turbines, and you're losing all this surface to build it. So if you're doing this in a place where the land is worthless, where you cannot plant, where you cannot use that land, okay. But if you're using that in a place where you could raise crops, that's something that we must think about. So solar power, PV power, is very good if you're using rooftops to do that. But if you're using agricultural land to do that, it may be a big problem. We could also use roads to do that. That's the Route Solaire in France, and intelligent highway in China. So this is also one possibility. There are people working on this possibility. Or if not in highways, it could even be in more smaller versions, where in bike paths. The problem with the solar is that intermittence, it's very big. If you have a nice day, no clouds, nothing, you just have this bell shape that during the day. So this is production through the daytime. So you have a big production close to midday, and during the night you don't have anything. But if you have clouds, variation, it's very big and very fast. So this is very complicated. And it becomes even more complicated when you look that in a larger, in a broader frame. So this is a substation in Germany. And you see that in blue, you have how the load, so the consumption, was in 2003. And in red, you see the consumption today. And you see that during the day, the consumption is negative. So you're producing electricity. So that substation, instead of consuming electricity, is producing electricity. So this is a very big problem. It was not meant to be like this. And the variation from one day to another can be very big. And three times larger than the consumption, what it was meant to be. So there you see that how complicated it can be. We have other possibilities like marine current, tidal power, so on. Well, here we stop this part of the video. We will continue on the next video. We will start understanding how do we manage this grid, how do we control this grid such that it can work as it's still working, but maybe it will not be able to work if the system continues to change and if we don't change the possibilities, the system to continue. So thank you very much for your attention.